Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas. Remember, they were called, set apart, and sent by God. Now, why were they sent? They were sent for one purpose. They were sent to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they did that faithfully. They went to that country in Cyprus. They preached on that first, when they first came to that first city, went all the way across that country of Cyprus to Paphos, and then they sailed north to Antioch, and there they also preached the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were faithful to preach the gospel wherever God opened the door, wherever God gave them opportunity to preach the gospel. We know, as we read the record in verse 42, some wanted to hear more. As they closed out that first message, that first meeting there in Antioch, it says in verse 42 that some wanted to hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ, how He justifies sinners by His grace. When the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words, the words of life, the words of truth, might be preached to them the next Sabbath day or during the week. They had a desire and a hunger to hear more of this one, Jesus Christ, how He justifies the ungodly through His blood atonement. My friend, if you have a desire to hear of this gospel, it's not there naturally. It's a desire that God has implanted in your heart and in your soul. Some wanted to hear more. Some didn't want to hear any more at all. And then verse 43, Paul and Barnabas encouraged them who were following them, many of the Jews and religious proselytes, religious Jewish people who had joined that Jewish religion, having heard the gospel, God having done something in their heart and created an interest in their heart, they followed Paul and Barnabas. Now you can imagine, as this congregation, large congregation, broke up, and as Paul and Barnabas, they were going to wherever they were staying, and this group of people followed them. And they said, "We want to hear more of this one, Jesus of Nazareth, who's the Savior of sinners." Well, Paul said to them, as they followed and requested, he said to them, speaking to them and persuading them to continue seeking the Lord, continue believing and trusting in Him, continue to seek salvation by what it says there, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. It is by the grace of God that we are saved. It is by the grace of God that He has chosen a people from all eternity. It is by the grace of God that we are saved. It's by the grace of God that we believe the gospel. It's by the grace of God that the Lord Jesus Christ gave His life for us. It's all by the grace of God, is it not? I would persuade you, my friend, to continue in the grace of God. Don't seek salvation by your deeds, your best efforts. I would persuade you to continue to seek salvation by the grace of God. Where's the grace of God manifested and revealed? Well, it's in Christ. We believe through the Lord Jesus Christ that we shall be saved, even as others. So I would persuade you and ask you by God's grace to continue in Christ, continue in this grace of God. Salvation, all of God and all of grace. Now, notice verse 44. The next Sabbath day. Now, this is a week later. The next Sabbath day, on the Saturday, the Sabbath. That's the Jewish Sabbath when they came together. Now the whole city, they've had a week of meetings, preaching. There's been much interest stirred. Many came out of curiosity. Many came because they had a need to hear more. Many came, or some came with no good. Some came with malicious ideas and with something contrary to the gospel of God's grace. It says almost the whole city. Some didn't come to hear the Word of God. Some came to criticize and to speak evil about the gospel. But it says the whole city, almost. What a gathering. What a meeting. And I pray that this is why we are here today, with an earnest desire to worship God and to hear. Wouldn't it be something to hear from God? Wouldn't it be something if God would speak to your heart and speak life and salvation to you? That's what I need. That's what I pray for you. To hear the Word of God. Now opposition. Verse 45. When the Jews, these religious leaders, when the Jews, these self-righteous Pharisees, when they saw the multitude, they weren't happy. Now you would think that they would have a desire for the good of the hearers to believe the gospel and to be saved and to know God. But these folks, instead of being interested in salvation and interested in God's glory, they weren't filled with that. They were filled with, look what it says there, envy. Envy. When they saw the crowd, they said one to another, you know, well, we can't get a crowd like that. They said one to another, you know, if Paul and Barnabas stay here in this town and keep preaching this, we're not going to have anybody in our synagogue. They're all going to leave and go follow Paul. They were envious. They were filled with envy and jealousy. They were about to lose their job. They were about to lose their congregation. And they got upset. So what they do? Not only filled with envy, their heart was wicked. And out of the wicked heart, they spake against those things spoken by Paul. Now, last week, they heard Paul preach the gospel. And at that time, there was no outward evidence that they were opposed to what Paul had said. But here now, they've had a week to think about it. And I'm sure as Paul was preaching and Barnabas preaching during that week, they were probably meeting too and saying that, you know, we can't allow this to go on. Not at all. So they started speaking against those things spoken by Paul. They started saying things like, you know, well, Paul, he's a man that's been run out of town. He's a man that's been run out of the Jewish religion. He was a Pharisee, and we had to take that away from him. You know, he's just a no count. You can't believe anything he says. They not only began to discredit Paul and discredit his ministry and the things that he said, but they went further. They went further. They spoke against Paul's Savior and God. It says they're not only speaking against Paul and contradicting what he said, denying what he said, but they spoke evil, blaspheming. Who did they blaspheme? The Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. They spoke evil. That's what that word means. Belching out evil out of their heart. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. What's in the well of the heart usually comes out through the bucket of the mouth. And that's what happened right here. They spoke that evil that was in their heart. They vented out evil against God. Against God's gospel. Against God's servants. Well, what's Paul going to do? Now here we see again that he's confronted with opposition. Is he going to quit? Is he going to go home? Is he going to change his message? Is he going to change his manners? Is he going to change his method? Is he going to say, well, can't we just get along? Can't we agree on some things and agree to disagree on other things? Can't we just get along? He waxed bold. He was more emboldened to plainly speak the gospel of God's grace. And then he says five things here. Five things. He says, first of all, it was necessary. It was necessary that you be confronted with the Word of God. It was necessary. And it is necessary that the gospel be preached to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The preaching of the gospel, there is a necessity of preaching. God says so. Who said so? Well, He does. Turn over here to Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. That's why we're so insistent upon every service when we meet to read the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to teach the Word of God. Romans 10. It's necessary. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. There must be a hearing of that gospel. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? Some nice story? Some experience I had? No, the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? God has ordained the preaching of the gospel to the salvation of His people. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. As Isaiah said, who had believed our report? So then, faith comes by the gospel. Faith comes by the gospel. And the gospel is the word of truth. Faith comes by the message of the gospel. And the message is the word of God, the truth of God. There is a necessity of preaching the gospel. Of His own will beget He us with the word of truth. We're born again not of the corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible word of God. There has to be the word in the new birth. There has to be a seed, and that seed is the word of God. Secondly, He said this back in our text. First of all, He said it was necessary that the gospel be preached to you. First, it should be spoken to you. But, He said, seeing that you put it from yourselves. You just pushed it away. You pushed it away. It was set right before you and you pushed it away. He said, it's not for me. That's what they said here. But seeing that you put it from you. You put it from you. You cast it away. You rejected it with contempt and with scorn. It reminds me of this scripture. Turn to John 19. John 19 reminds me of this scripture. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But look at John 19. When Pilate sought to release Him, verse 12. John 19, 12. And the Jews cried out, this same crowd, this same self-righteous crowd. They said to Pilate, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. You're not Caesar's servant. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaks against Caesar. That's what they accused Christ of. You're the king? Yeah, I'm the king. Look at verse 13. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought forth Jesus and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha, and it was the preparation of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he saith to the Jews, behold your king. And they cried out, away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. And Pilate said, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered and said, we have no king but Caesar. They rejected the gospel. They cast it away from them with scorn and contempt, just as these folks did. You put it from you. Put it from you. And then he says this in verse 46, and you judge yourselves. You judge yourselves. You put judgment, you brought judgment upon your own house. You judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. You consider yourself to have no need of a Savior. No need of a substitute. No need of a sin offering before God. No need of a justifying righteousness. No need to be saved by the grace of God. You condemned yourself by rejecting the only hope that any sinner has is Christ. Don't reject the gospel. Receive Christ as all your hope. And then he says this, fourthly, he said, "Lo, we turn. We turn from you self-righteous Pharisees. You who are going about to establish your own righteousness, we're going to turn from you." You see, God's preachers are not beggars. I don't beg you to do something for God. I preach the gospel, and I'm glad if God gives you grace to believe it, I'm going to keep on preaching it. But my friend, if you won't hear it, I'm going to find somebody who will. I'm going to find, and that's what he says here, "Lo, we turn to sinners." I'm looking for a sinner. Someone who's interested in hearing the gospel. Someone who needs this Savior, the Lord Jesus. We turn to sinners. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Does that describe you? Come on now, let's shuck right down to the cob. Is that you? Well, you know, I'm a pretty good fella. Well, you know, I see worms crawling around on the parking lot from time to time after rain. What's one worm compared to another worm? Just a worm. That's all I am, a worm. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. That's all we are before God is sinners. Sinner, sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ came to save worms. That's right. Who needs a Savior? A worm. You know it says in Psalm 22, the Lord Jesus Christ calls Himself a worm. You think about that. Here's the God of glory became a worm to save this worm. He became the sinner on Calvary's tree, having my sin put on Him, having my sin in His own body. He said, "No man and worm bearing my sin, that He might show grace to those His people." He came to save sinners. I'm looking for a sinner who needs a Savior. And I'll point you to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, fifthly, verse 47 in Acts 13, "So hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation." Christ is for salvation. He is the light. He says that in John 8:12, "I am the light. I'm the light of the world." He's the only light of salvation. And what do? As His servants, we hold forth Christ the light. And we tell sinners who in the dark behold the light. Look to Christ. He is the light. He is the water. He is the bread. He is the door. He is the shepherd. He's all and in all in salvation. Look to Him. He is salvation. He is salvation. He's the only Savior of sinners. See, my friend, this is a sinner's gospel. This is for sinners. Well, that's what he said. God's servants hold forth Christ. Christ and Him crucified. His person. We've seen this in our study of the book of Acts. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 36. Acts 2:36. His person. Acts 2:36. "Therefore let all the house of Israel know with surety that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified Lord and Christ." That's His person. He is Lord. He is the Messiah. He is the Anointed. He is the Christ. And then they declared His work. "Neither is there salvation in any other." In Acts 13, verse 38, this was the closing statement of Paul's message. "Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. And by him all that believe are justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." We hold forth the light. Salvation by grace. And point sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 48. When the Gentiles, when these sinners heard this, that Christ is the light for sinners, that Christ is the Savior for sinners, when the Gentiles heard that, look what it says. They were glad. They were glad. Oh, I tell you, glad. And they glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. When these who were made aware of their sin, their need of salvation, how God purposed to send the message to them, this good news to them, they were happy. They were made happy. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin through Christ. They had a desire to hear more of that message. And it says not only were they glad, but they glorified the word of the Lord. They glorified Christ. They worshiped and honored the Lord Jesus Christ. And they said in their heart, as Paul writes to the Galatians, God forbid we should glory in any other but the Lord Himself and alone. They glorified the Lord by attributing all of salvation to Christ, His person, and His glorious work. Now notice this statement here. And this is a powerful, powerful statement. The last part of verse 48. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now this describes to us exactly who's going to believe the gospel. It doesn't say as many as believed the gospel were ordained. That's putting the cart before the horse. As many as were ordained to eternal life, that's who's going to believe the gospel of God's grace. Who believes? Those who were ordained. I want you to underscore that phrase, as many as. And let's turn to some scripture where it's used in other places. Turn to John chapter 17. As many as. Who's going to believe this gospel? Those ordained to life in Christ. John 17, look at this here. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power, John 17, 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. That's who he's going to say, those given to him in the covenant of grace. Now turn back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 12 and verse 13. John 1, verse 11 says, he came into his own. His own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, why did they believe? Read the next verse. Which were born, not of blood. They're talking here about natural lineage or heritage. I'm not a believer. I'm not born again because my daddy was a believer. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It wasn't my will that willed myself to believe. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy. Nor the will of man. Some man didn't will me in or tell me that I'm born again. But we receive Christ, we believe Him because we're born of God. As many as receive Him are those who were born from above. Now turn to Acts chapter 2. Here's another place for that, as many as. Acts chapter 2. Verse 38. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Now, I'm not saying that baptism is a reason for remission. That word F-O-R looks back to Christ crucified. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. How does He call? With the gospel. With the gospel. And then turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. And this word there where it's used, ordained, is also the word appointed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 5, 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. He has appointed us unto to obtain salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back to the text, Acts 13. The Gentiles, when they heard this good news of the gospel, God's purpose to save sinners in Christ, they were glad, they glorified the word of the Lord, and they believed. How's election known? How's your election known? By your calling. God calls with the gospel. That's how I know anything about election. Beloved, knowing your election of God, for our gospel came not to you in word only, but in power, and in the Holy Spirit with much assurance. Believing the gospel is a miracle of God's grace. Now, here's the rest of the story. Verse 49, Acts 13. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. The word of truth was published, preached, proclaimed. What a privilege and what a charge and responsibility God has given us as believers to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So the word of the Lord was published by these who believed the gospel. They went forth preaching this message and being a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's this other crowd, verse 50. These unbelieving, self-righteous, God-hating Jews stirred up some devout and honorable women. These women, wives of the chief men of the city, some people think. They got to these chief men of the city through these women. And they raised persecution. They raised persecution against Paul, against Barnabas, and they kicked them out of town. They expelled them. Expelled them. I tell you what, they could kick Paul and Barnabas and expel them out of the city, but they could not expel salvation that God had wrought in the hearts of His people and the influence upon their hearts. You can kick the messenger out, but you can't get to the message that's believed in the heart. And that's what happened here. They threw out Paul and Barnabas, and they, verse 51, they shook off the dust of their feet as a witness against them. Remember we read, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel of peace? And here Paul shakes the dust off his feet. You see, this gospel to them wasn't a message that was beautiful and needful. They thought it to be the dust. And Paul shakes off his dust of his feet as a witness against them. Verse 52. And the disciples, even though Paul left, even though Barnabas expelled out of town, the disciples were filled with joy. They had that joy in here. They were the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, that have no confidence in the flesh. They were still rejoicing in this message of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit dwells in the heart and bears testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The preacher were kicked out of town and they went rejoicing. The newborn babes in Christ found great joy believing and resting in Christ. Now you think about this. What about that other crowd? They still were in bondage and in sin, seeking salvation by the deeds of their hand, still in bondage to the law. What a contrast between those believing, being filled with joy, and those who were groping about in the darkness of legalism, dead works. Well, I pray the Lord will bless that.